This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. We really get to ramp things up in about a week or so after we get some draft results on Thursday. Get a look at some first-round potential starting skill position impact players that we can start to think about as it relates to our season-long leagues and who we might consider. I've shied away from drafting rookies for much of my fantasy football life, but obviously, as we have seen in recent years, especially at the running back position, with the impact that so many rookie running backs have had on football, on fantasy football, on both the last couple of years, obviously a Saquon Barkley and his landing place is going to factor in, and we're probably going to have at least three quarterbacks who are drafted by teams to probably play right away. And in that case, they are going to be highly touted quarterbacks on bad teams, which means unless they fail so miserably or get injured, they're going to be out there throwing the ball a lot, putting up a lot of yardage, potentially a lot of touchdowns. In general, we'd obviously like to have simply the best quarterback we can get and the best lineup overall. But sometimes you don't mind having a potentially high-volume quarterback, a high-volume wide receiver on a bad football team, especially a team with a bad defense, just because the game flow is going to work in their favor. And, of course, adversely, that's why you tend to shy away from running backs who are on bad football teams that fit the same defensive profile. So look forward to that in about a week. And again, don't forget, for those of you in the Tampa Bay area who know my relationship with JoeBucksFan.com, Justin Pulowski, the commish, and Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter. Joe Bucks fan and the commish, and I believe Ira may even be there also. If I have that wrong, I apologize. Down at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry, just north of Gandy Boulevard, I even reached out to Steve at Joe Bucks fan, and I said, "How big is this thing?" And I was stunned with the response. This is going to be a terrific event. So for those of you in the Tampa Bay area who have a vested interest in the draft, in the Buccaneers, maybe even a combination of both. Maybe you're a fan of another particular team, but you're looking for a fun place to go. You like the commish. You like what the family at Joe Bucks Fan does overall. I am part of the Joe Bucks Fan family, even though I rarely talk about the Buccaneers. I talk about them as one of 32 teams. I'm now doing a Lightning podcast throughout the playoffs, and of course I talk fantasy football, but I respect I wouldn't be involved with Joe Bucks Fan if I didn't respect the vehicle and the people involved with that particular website. So, looks like one hell of a party. And I believe, is it like $20? And it's pretty much all you can eat? You know, and I've been to my share of Buffalo Wild Wings for about 15 years. If I could walk into any Buffalo Wild Wings, hand over $20, and just basically eat anything I wanted, I would be in Buffalo Wild Wings a hell of a lot more. So I think Justin and JoeBucksFan.com have put together one hell of a good deal. It looks like a great time on that particular night. Might it conflict with a game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Lightning and the Bruins? Yeah, it might. I mean, look, they'll have the game on in there. They'll have the draft on. They'll have the hockey game. I don't see a problem with it, except for those of you that are Lightning season ticket holders. But yeah, I'm recording this podcast on Saturday morning. I'm actually getting ready to go down to Amalie Arena for game five of the Lightning series against the Devils. If the Lightning win game five against the Devils, they advance. The Boston Bruins, if they win game five against the Leafs, advance. and the league won't immediately start the Lightning Bruins series. They're very careful about not letting a series get, say, two games ahead of the other series that will ultimately produce the opponent for the winner of that series. So reaching out to Rick Peckham, my golf partner and longtime television voice of the Lightning, and of course, the legendary voice of the Hartford Whalers, Rick said they might have to wait. So even if the Lightning win, even if the Lightning and Bruins win Game 5, it's not likely that Lightning and Bruins are going to start any earlier. I can't even make a case they'll start on Wednesday. I can make a case that they'd start Thursday, that they'd go Thursday, Saturday, maybe Thursday, Sunday, maybe Friday, Sunday. I think those are the scenarios there. I guess there's a chance they go Saturday, Monday. I don't think they would, but I don't see a scenario where they would start any earlier than Thursday and might wait until Friday or even Saturday to start that next series. So anyway, I mean, the NHL, I don't think the NHL is going to care necessarily about the National Football League draft, although it's on Fox, it's on NFL Network, it's on ESPN. I guess in the future it may be on NBC and CBS as well. I guess those networks have said, well, are we allowed to broadcast it? We're also a partner. So we're getting to draft overkill. But when you're going to have, when you had as many people as you did in Philadelphia last year, and you're going to have as many people at Jerry World as you have this year, and all these cities bidding on it, it's becoming the biggest, quote, non-sporting event out there. It's not a sporting event. It's a draft. It's a selection of players. Nobody's winning. Nobody's losing. Nobody's competing. It's a damn draft. So it's interesting. Anyway, so the draft party Thursday night, Buffalo Wild Wings in on Southdale Mabry, just north of Gandy. Kamish's party, and I want to support that because Kamish supports my events when we get everybody to draft for the Hooters season long leagues at Hillsborough Hooters, and he also came to the St. Petersburg Hooters as well, even though I didn't have a team for him because we were full with the leagues. So thank you, Kamish. Thank you, JoeBucksFan.com. So we'll start looking at some of the impact players from the draft process almost immediately. I'll even try to cut a podcast late Thursday night next week. Excuse me. Because I have a golf tournament to host on Saturday. I have the Todd Wright Tour Championship, my 14th event that I am hosting in 2.5 years at the very private and wonderful Buckhorn Springs Golf and Country Club that Saturday. So my Friday is going to be kind of busy. So I'll get you a podcast Thursday night as we're wrapping up the first round. And you should have it posted by Friday. For those of you that subscribe, that's the best way to know when a new podcast posts. So all I want to talk about in this particular podcast is I've been asked by more than a few people since the end of last season, hey, what did you do with kickers in your league? And tell me how you score them. It seems like the trend has been in season-long fantasy football leagues and even in DraftKings away from kickers at all. And I understand why. It's, look, we know who the best kickers are. We do. That's not a difficult criteria. The difficulty becomes, as much as there's a lot of luck and random and skill elements to fantasy football, knowing what kicker to put in your lineup that's going to outscore another kicker is difficult because he's at the mercy of game flow, his team's offensive success, basically on the other team's half of the field. You can factor in red zone touchdown percentage. You can look at third down percentage. So all I did was I thought about eliminating kickers altogether, just like DraftKings did. And look, I don't miss when I'm putting together my DraftKings lineup. I don't miss picking a kicker. Doesn't bother me at all. Now, at the same time, I think there's also some randomness that comes with DST. There just is. I think they're very comparable. I mean, week to week, to the whole idea with DST is you want touchdowns, right? And that's tough to predict because they're not happening that much. And more as the NFL and college football are trending away from any incentive to run back a kickoff before we just eliminate that play entirely. Those special teams touchdowns are disappearing. So on the subject of the kickers, this is what I did last season. I kept the kickers around. You played one kicker, and here's how we scored it. If the kicker made the PAT, you got 1 point. If the kicker missed the PAT, you had a 1 point penalty. So every extra point was basically a two point play. You either gained a point or you lost a point. I also decided not to reward long field goals. I wanted a field goal to be worth what a field goal is worth. So 40 to 49 yard field goals in my league that I commissioned last year were worth 3 points, not four. 50 yard field goals and longer were not worth five in my league. They were worth 3 points. I did get some pushback from a few of my owners on especially the 50 yarder, saying that the 50 yarder should be worth 5 points. I still disagree. I understand that a 50-plus yard field goal is a big-time hit for that kicker and his team. However, I just think that in fantasy football, in fantasy football, it's too random when you get the kickers trying long field goals. Now, coaches are going to trot out the bigger, more consistent legs on the 50 yarders than the coaches who don't have a kicker or cutter, and they would rather punt because they don't want to give up the field position. So I get that there's some sort of game element, but follow me along here. I know there are bonuses in some of your leagues for, say, if your wide receiver catches a touchdown of more than 50 yards. I think that's one of the more common bonuses out there, right? If you have a wide receiver who scores from 50 yards or more, you may get an extra pop on top of the 6 points. If you have a running back who scores from 50 yards or more, you get the extra pop. We don't do that, and I don't see the reason to do that because you're already getting the yardage, right? So let's look at it this way. If Jeremy Hill gets a 2 yard touchdown this year for the New England Patriots, you get the 6 points and you get the 0.2 points for the yards. If, not that Jeremy Hill is going to have an 80 yard touchdown run, but let's say, who would bust off an 80 yard touchdown run? Yeah, is that a good one? Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry busts off an 80-yard touchdown run for the Titans, you get the 6 and you get 8 for the yardage. So I would imagine in those leagues where there are bonuses, you're not getting the actual yardage. There may be yardage thresholds. So I think in my league, because I'm giving you the points for the yardage that go along with the touchdown anyway, I don't need to give a bonus. So, excuse me, I am battling a little bit of a cold, so just be glad you're not in the same room. Also, touchdowns are worth six, right? Your wide receiver, your tight end catches a touchdown, you get six. How much is it worth on the field? Six. Your running back runs in a touchdown, it's worth six. Now, we're independent of the yardage here. So a field goal to me should be worth three. Now, you could say, well, wait a minute. The longer field goal, you should get a bonus for the yardage. I just don't want to go there with the yardage incentive. And I wanted to lessen the impact of, say, a Matt Prater, because Detroit fails on third down so much and can't get in the end zone because they have no running game. And you get a Matt Prater game of 250-yarders and 240-yarders, and suddenly, and if Matt Prater kicks two extra points, suddenly that's a 20-point game out of your kicker. I think we'd all agree. Almost any position, even quarterback, you can get 20 points out of. That's big. I don't know the kicker should be worth 20 points. Am I saying Prater had a bad game? No. I'm actually saying the Lions had a bad game. But so what I did was, again, on PATs, you get 1 point if the kicker makes it. You lose 1 point if he misses it. Yardage doesn't matter. Field goals of 40 or more, if the kicker made it, it was worth 3 points. If he misses it, there's no penalty. And then I added the penalty for misses from 39 and in, where if a field goal was made, it was worth 3 points. If it is missed from 39 and in, you lost 2 points. Now, actually, last year, there were most of the good kickers didn't miss a lot of field goals from 39 and in. So while you say, well, wait a minute, that's a five-point swing. Yeah, it is. But let's think about it. Think about your favorite team. Think about any kick your kicker tries from 39 and in. You're expecting him to make it. Now, barring it being a blizzard in Cleveland, or 40-mile-per-hour winds off the lake at Soldier Field, or, dare I say, any kick at Heinz Field, toughest place to kick in the National Football League, you expect your kicker to make every kick from 39 and in. So me imposing a penalty and making that kick a five-point swing, three if he gets it, minus two if he misses it, to me isn't a big deal at all. Now, I'm going to consider and talk to my owners about giving some sort of bonus for the 50-yard field goal, and I may put it to a vote. I don't want to make it five. I just don't. Maybe four, and that's it. Just because overall I wanted to lessen the impact that the kicker in your season-long lineup has on you winning or losing each week. To me, it's a complementary component. You should win or lose most of your fantasy football games based on the performance of your quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, in my opinion. Now, again, if a DST goes off and gets you a touchdown or two, that's going to be a big factor, but I don't know that we're to that point yet, and I haven't figured out a way where, now we may eventually take DST out of it. I don't feel like we're headed that way, because I think fantasy fans want to root for a defense. They want to try to find a defense that gets them sacks, gets them turnovers, an occasional pick six, or kick six, although those are disappearing. It's just been more the kicker impact that's been questioned. So that's how I lessened it. I may allow for a 50-plus yard bonus. Maybe make that four. I don't want to make it five, as is in standard scoring leagues. And 40 to 49 is going to stay three. But again, there's no penalty for missing a 40 to 49-yard field goal in my leagues. I've always said about the Scott Norwood wide right. It wasn't a chip shot. Yeah, I know he missed it with the Super Bowl on the line, and Thurman Thomas had an unbelievable game. The game was great. We're not talking about a 32-yard field goal here. That thing was beyond 40 yards. Sure, it's a kick Norwood normally makes, but I always bring up the length of that. I think once you get to 40 and beyond, no longer is it a given. You know, I think if you were to ask any head coach and say, all right, I'm going to offer you this kicker for the next 5 years. He's going to make every kick from 39 and in. From 40 and out, he's going to make 50 to 70%. Do you want this kicker or not? I think they'll take him. I think they just want to know that there's a given 3 points out there from 39 and in. From 40 and out, which is roughly what? Line of scrimmage is the 23 and back. They want to know that he might make it, but I don't think most coaches count on 50-yard field goals. From 40 and 49, they want it, but they know it's not a given. So anyway, that's my opinion on kickers, and I would love to hear your feedback at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. How you feel about kicker scoring. I'd love to hear from some commissioners. If you're considering making change to your kicker scoring, or if you're eliminating kickers altogether, do you miss not drafting kickers in DraftKings, or do you even notice? Is it an element you kind of like when you're watching football on a Sunday? Personally, I never mind having a kicker in the Sunday night or the Monday night game just to give me a few extra points. And literally, I mean extra points, not the actual PATs. Just, I'm going to get a few more tonight. So, love to hear what you think about kicker scoring. What you think of how I do it. Should 50-yard field goals have a bonus more than three? Should it stay standard scoring at five? I'm not saying that everything I do is right, but I just wanted to lessen the impact on, say, Matt Prater winning a game outright. I don't think in virtually, there might be five games a year in the NFL where a kicker is the reason a team won. Now, sure, if he hits a game winner, but that's just the game winner. Now, if he goes out and hits five, six field goals, okay. And in the scenario I gave you, Prater hit four, all from 40 and beyond. So I see both sides of it. I just wanted to lessen the impact of a kicker outright winning a game. I want to see a big game from a running back, a big game from a wide receiver, a big game from a tight end win a game. Although some would say, well, a DST could as randomly with a team getting eight sacks and a pick six impact the game as much as the Matt Prater scenario that I brought up. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time about the first round of the National Football League draft and who was selected by whom that might impact your draft boards for your season-long leagues.